Psalm 56. To the choir master, according to the dove on far off Terebinth, a miktam of David, when the Philistines seized him in Gath. Be gracious to me, O God, for man tramples on me. All day long an attacker oppresses me. My enemies trample on me all day long, for many attack me proudly. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you, in God whose word I praise, in God I trust. I shall not be afraid. What can flesh do to me? All day long they injure my cause or twist my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They stir up strife. They lurk. They watch my steps, as they have waited for my life. For their crime will they escape? In wrath cast down the peoples, O God. You have kept count of my tossings. Put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your book? Then my enemies will turn back in the day when I call. This I know, that God is for me. In God, whose word I praise, in the Lord, whose word I praise, in God I trust, I shall not be afraid. What can man do to me? I must perform my vows to you, O God. I will render thank offerings to you. For you have delivered my soul from death, yes, my feet from falling, that I might walk before God in the light of life. Let's pray again. Oh, Father, we are continually praying to you because we continually have need, and we continually know our weakness and our sinfulness and the fact that we need your blessings to be upon us to live a life that glorifies you. Oh, Father, I am weak. I am thankful that you are strong. Lord, I am sinful and I am thankful for Christ who never sinned. I pray this day that you might strengthen our faith. And Lord, may we also be honest about our fears, and may we respond to that fear properly. It's through Christ I pray. Amen. Psalm 56, like I said, the connection that most find is 1 Samuel 21, 10 through 15. So you have that account there. If you wanted a title for this message, I would say a good one would be "The Right Response to Fear is Faith." The right response to fear is faith. And so David experiences fear, we find out here. First, he goes to God in the midst of tribulation. He calls out in verse 1, "Be gracious to me," or "merciful, O God, for man tramples on me all day long, an attacker oppresses me. My enemies trample on me all day long, for many attack me proudly." David needed God. He especially knew his need at this moment. So verses 1 to 2 describe the situation as the men are trying to trample upon him or continually attack, and the enemies are being proud to do this evil toward him. And so he prays for mercy or grace. He knew that he did not have it in another way, and so he goes to the Lord. And certainly we need to learn this, that we must go to God in the midst of tribulation. Where do we turn first? Ask yourself and be honest. Do we look for, I'm going to do this myself? We rely upon ourselves, or do we rely upon God? Even as we use the means which he's given us to persevere, and we make use of the means such as reading the word or having fellowship with other believers, these are the grace of God toward us. This is God's blessing if we will actually make use of those. He is oppressed. He's being pressed to such a point that he feels his life to be in danger. Maybe some of you or all of you have felt this pressure. He does not feel security anywhere. If we want to put it in different ways and try to, I suggest that when we read the scriptures and we want to understand what is going on for them, what was going on for David, also we need to apply this to our own life. And so, have you been at a point when you did not feel secure? You felt pressed from every side. In 1 Samuel 21, we have these details of David pretending to be insane. But here in Psalm 56, we have the details of something else that's going on in the mind and soul of David. He is going to God in the midst of this tribulation. Aren't you glad we have Psalm 56 and not just 1 Samuel 21? Yes, both portions of Scripture are a blessing, but I am glad that we know what is going on within David, within his soul. They attack me proudly from this high place. Charles Spurgeon said that, as you noted from 1 Samuel 21, he had left the persecution of Saul to head this in this direction to Gath, to Achish, and then he feels this other threat that's arising among him. And so Saul, as Spurgeon says, attacked him from his high throne. He used all the force of his high position to get after David, and I'm somewhat paraphrasing here, but it should be comforting to us that the Lord has a higher place than any king of the earth. It is the high place where he can provide comfort to the weak saints, even though they might have a mighty enemy. God is greater. A mighty fortress is our God. A bulwark never failing. Go to God in the midst of tribulation. You say, well, I'm pretty much at peace today, this morning, Brother David. Just wait. Just wait. So this is a passage of Scripture to prepare you for tribulation. But you might be in the midst of the storm, and I might be looking at you, and you might have a smile on your face, but yet there might be a storm raging in your soul or your mind at this moment. Go to God in the midst of tribulation. No doubt if a person is in the presence of a king and that king feels threatened by you, you will probably be dealt with quickly. David knew the potential danger that he faced, and that potential danger produced fear. We know this because of verse 3. When I am afraid. When I am afraid. Not if by chance I ever experience a little twinge of fear. He didn't say that. But when. Not if. But when I am afraid. New King James, the translation is rendered, whenever I am afraid. The psalmist admits that he is experiencing fear, and this is very helpful to me. Sometimes us as Christians, we want to have it all together. We want to think that, oh, we're doing pretty good, and we don't want people to look at us and to see any weakness or anything. Oh, you're supposed to know the Lord. Everything should be all squared away now. The truth is that the psalmist experienced fear. The psalmist was not some super saint that never struggled with the same things that we do. No, he was a saint that was going to God in the midst of this fear. Fear must be something quite widespread among the saints. You and I, we've read the Scriptures, and we know that it is one of the Lord's most often given commands. Fear not. The Lord knows the effect that the fall had upon us, one of those effects being fear. Genesis 3, we find it out very quickly when the Lord called to Adam, and Adam said, well, I heard the sound of you in the garden. I was afraid. So Adam should not experience any fear at all because he had this wonderful communion with God in the garden. But yet when he transgressed, when he rebelled, when he disobeyed the Lord, fear came upon him. I hid myself, he said. Don't hide. Go to God in the midst of tribulation. The psalmist writes, when I am afraid. So we can clearly see the problem. What is the solution? We do need to be honest about the problem, right? We all have to admit where we're falling short of the glory of God, and where our life, our thinking, our words, our actions are not perfectly conform to the image of Christ. We need to confess those, and then we need to see the solution. Where can we go? The solution is not getting yourself pumped up and saying, I'll not be afraid. The solution is not this pep rally within. Oh, don't be afraid. Just do better. No, the psalmist says, when I am afraid, I put my trust in you. He's calling upon the Lord here. fear should always be followed by faith. The right response to fear is faith. The psalmist's focus at first, we know, was on his evil adversaries. And with that focus, he became very afraid. But then, by God's grace, his focus shifted. It was to the Lord. His trust was upon the Lord. Verse 4, in God, whose word I praise, in God I trust, I shall not be afraid. What can flesh do to me? I put my trust in you, Lord. This is a confidence in the Lord. John MacArthur points out this is a purposeful decision. Replacing an emotional reaction to one's circumstances. May we have such grace as well to do this, to set our mind on things above. Not to look at the waves all around us. Not to see the waves in the storm and begin to sink, but yet focus upon the Lord. McLaren says, true faith fixes its gaze on the divine helper. This is a dependence, a trust. This is a belief. And then we can find a way away from this fear. We can be relieved from these fears when we focus on the Lord himself. Faith in God is what is needed when fear arises. It is faith in his word. Faith, trust, or dependence is David's only hope. Can we learn this lesson? I think we're going to keep learning it over and over again as we walk with the Lord. If only God will help. As Kyle and Dalich put it, I can face these pygmies who are behaving as giants. I can fight against those who are so proudly attacking me with the very might of God if my focus is upon him. Matthew Henry points out that he resolves to make God's promises a matter of his praises. What words will fill our mouth whenever we experience this fear? Will we repeat over and over again, I'm afraid, I'm afraid, I'm afraid? Or may we declare the promises of God? I will never leave you nor forsake you. We must not trust, as Matthew Henry points out, in an arm of flesh. We must not be afraid of the arm of flesh when it's stretched out against us. We must not even trust the arm of flesh when it is helping us and engaged for us. Don't trust in those. Yes, God has put us together and we will help one another out. But we need to see this as actually the power of God working through another on our behalf. Let's not cut any of the praise of God or the boasting of God or the praise that God is due out of any of our seeking of help. It is ultimately his grace that will give us help through a human hand. Trust or confidence in the Lord delivers a person from fear. And in this case, David felt his life threatened. This was a serious circumstance. Then he considers the Lord, who is the author of life, the one who is in control of all things, and he says, what can flesh do to me? I'm not afraid of flesh, meaning another person, when God is on my side. David had been growing in the faith, if you will, since he was young. When David was not afraid when he was younger, actually he encouraged the whole army of Israel. You remember this account. Young David brings the cheese and the bread to his brothers as they're engaged in the battle with the Philistines. Goliath continually comes out and the whole army of Israel continues to tremble day after day. David witnesses this event. He said, that ought not to happen. God, the God of Israel should not be mocked. And so I'm willing to fight. David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him, of Goliath. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. What faith that he's exercising. He didn't have fear. Like I said, he's trying to encourage and alleviate the fear of the whole army there. Why was David not afraid when the army of Israel was afraid? It was because he was trusting in the Lord. David said a little later in that passage, the Lord delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear. and will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. It's God who's going to fight my battle. I'm going to trust in Him. Fear must be followed by faith. We also, though, cannot forget that David indeed has many evil adversaries. Verses 5 and 6. All day long, they injure my cause. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They stir up strife. They lurk. They watch my steps as they have waited for my life. The enemies, it says there in ESV, injure my cause. Other translations, it would have to do with twisting of his words. So they're taking what he says and trying to turn it in a bad way. They spend their time continually thinking up evil to do against David. And so, again, it says, open mouths of sinners, when they rage against us, should open our mouths in prayer. If someone is speaking about you, twisting your words, someone is seeking to speak in a way that is not pleasing to the Lord, sometimes we're tempted to open our mouth and fight back with words toward them. Spurgeon encourages that maybe our mouth should be open in prayer more so in such a situation. Spurgeon goes on to say, a father is soon aroused when his children are shamefully treated. And so, thank the Lord that we have a Heavenly Father who has all power and rules and reigns. So these evil adversaries, they're stirred up. They're stirring up things. They're not trying to bring peace, but they're trying to bring a quarrel. They lurk around. They lay in hiding. They keep a close watch on David, waiting for an opportune time to pounce. Sometimes we can feel as though everyone's against us. We can begin to look over our shoulder and think someone's after us. Well, maybe that's the case or maybe not for us, but it was certainly the case for David here. They were after him. What a terrible experience to have evil adversaries looking to catch you at every corner. No wonder David was afraid, but he did not stay that way. He was comforted. Verses 7 and 8, he was comforted by God's wrath and God's care. Verse 7, for their crime will they escape? In wrath cast down the peoples, O God. The question arose in the psalmist's mind, are my enemies going to get away with their evil? He calls upon God to cast down or to stop these evildoers. In this case, these people are Gentiles, but we know that David's own people have been after him, Saul and those that were part of his army chasing after David. David is comforted to know that God has wrath toward evildoers. David knows that one day his enemies will get what they deserve. This is comforting to know that God's holy wrath will be poured out on all the unrighteous. That's why we don't have to take vengeance. The Lord says vengeance is His and He will repay. It's comforting to know that God's holy wrath will end this evildoer. Though David was treated wickedly at times, the wicked will not get the last word. God is the ultimate judge. God might choose to stop the wicked here and now, but a more weighty fact is that God will stop the wicked for eternity. We confess that we are strangers. We're passing through. This world is not our home. We are looking forward to the day when all the effects of the fall will be ended. We don't need to get a wrong understanding of the wrath of God. It is not an emotional explosion of anger. Rather, as John MacArthur put it, it's judicial outrage resulting from God's holy nature, reacting to wickedness and ungodliness. In this case, God delivered David from Achish, king of Gath. But there is no doubt that David experienced great travail. Verse 8, you have kept count of my tossings or wanderings. You put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your book? So David is comforted by God's wrath. He is also comforted by the fact that God knows all that he has experienced. God did not just take notice of David's suffering and then look the other way, if you will, but rather he recorded it. The Lord counted David's wanderings. The Lord put David's tears in his bottle. The Lord recorded this in his book. David might have thought that all his friends and family didn't understand what he was going through, but David knows that God knows all his troubles. For the young listeners, I've been going rather quickly. I don't know if I've filled in all the blanks for you. Ryan's looking at his paper there. You got them all? Uh-oh, he's saying, don't call me out in the midst of a sermon, brother. God's wrath and God's care bring comfort. God knows all your troubles. Verses 9 through 11, we have somewhat of a refrain. Then my enemies will turn back in the day when I call. This I know, that God is for me. In God, whose word I praise, in the Lord, whose word I praise, in God I trust, I shall not be afraid. What can man do to me? David knows that calling upon God is his only hope, and his enemies will turn back. He knows the Lord has, the relationship that he has with the Lord teaches them this. He knows that the Lord cares for him. He communes with the Lord, and so David has a proper understanding that the Lord is for his people. The Lord is working whatever comes to pass in the believer's life for good. I will trust in you. This is trust and confidence. Again, God's unchangeable love toward his people, his everlasting strength, as John Gill put it, and that he is faithful and true to every word of promise. Therefore, there is a reason to trust him and not to be afraid. God doesn't just tell us, don't be afraid or fear not. He says, I am with you. I can protect you. I will safely keep you all the way to my kingdom. McLaren points out that faith is cleaving to Christ. It is grabbing a hold of him in such a way as with all the tendrils of our heart, as the vine does around its pole. Holding him by his hand, this is the tottering man does when they grab a hold of that strong hand that upholds them. Trust in the Lord. In the Lord whose word I praise. The word of God. The word of God should figure again into our minds, should fill our minds continually. Albert Barnes asked, what would life be like without the Bible? Have you ever considered that question? I mean, we are privileged to the point that we have all these copies of the Word of God. Many of us have been raised going to church where the Word of God has been read. Some have been raised in homes where the Word of God is read on a daily basis. What would life be like without the Bible? Barnes says, what a dark, gloomy, sad course would ours be on earth if we had nothing to guide us to a better world. So the memorization of the scripture, I encourage you with that again. There is, Desiring God has from John Piper, has this collection of fighter verses. Verses that would be helpful in different times of life. Whatever way you choose to get this word into your mind, and the regular preaching of the word of God, the regular reading of the scriptures in your home, whatever the case, you need it. In the Lord, whose word I praise. The psalmist was focused upon the Lord based upon his word. So David has faith that the Lord is for him. He trusts in God, and David's fear passes as faith in God arises. David knows that man cannot do anything to him apart from the Lord's allowing. Fear should be followed by faith. Is faith in God only for times of great tribulation? That's a question we could ask. You say, David's in such a difficult situation here. Yeah, it's obvious he's crying out to the Lord, and he's got to believe and trust and depend upon the Lord to take care of him and for safety. Don't turn away from God in peaceful times. Verses 12 and 13. I must perform my vows to you, O God. I will render thank offerings to you. For you have delivered my soul from death, yes, my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of life. David must continue to walk by faith after God delivered him. In faith, David will perform the vows that he had made to God. What kind of vow, you ask? David will give thank offerings and praises to the Lord. There is the peace offering or the thank offering that was prescribed in the ceremonial law. Within that offering, some of the sacrifice would be eaten by those offering. This is a celebration. Thank you, God. Thank you for what you have done. The sacrifice could be eaten for 2 days, but not on the third day. In David's case, this would be a celebration of God's answering prayer. When God provides the blessing, when God provides the answer to prayer, may we be quick to turn back and thank Him and to praise Him. Lord, if you deliver me, I will praise you and live a life of thanksgiving while I have life on this earth. And God gave David more earthly life. Verse 13, you have delivered my soul from death, yes, my feet from falling, that I might walk before God in the light of life. Yes, well, I have life on this earth. Paul said that he wanted to depart and be with Christ, for he knew that was far better. But he said if he was to remain in the flesh, it was necessary for the account of the Philippians that he's writing to. But he says, if I live in the flesh, I'll have fruitful labor for the Lord. May we have such a resolve as the Lord gives us life on this earth. Don't turn away from God in peaceful times. Praise God at all times. Give thanks to God. And as our scripture memory says, give thanks in what? All circumstances. I know that's a different translation that we were reading, but I have to confess, I memorize in ESV. I don't memorize in King James. But that's okay. Your preferred translation, as long as it's a good one. Give thanks to God in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. This season is a special time of thanksgiving. We have seen in the psalm that David had reasons to thank the Lord, and I want to encourage you that we have many reasons to be thankful to the Lord. What can flesh or what can man do to me? Yes, his thoughts arose to the Lord. It was him going to God in the midst of this tribulation. O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, our shelter from the stormy blast and our eternal home. Where else can we go, Lord? Is what Peter said when Jesus asked them, are you going to go away also? You have the words of eternal life. Brethren, don't go anywhere else. Fear should be followed by faith. We've seen this in this passage. And you say, I have much fear. Then I can tell you, you can rejoice and I can rejoice that the Lord will use this fear to build much faith in Him. See, God matures us in the faith. He allows us to pass through difficulty. I want you to see your suffering. This is conclusion and application of this passage. But I want you to see that when fear arises, don't be paralyzed by this. See this as God working in such a way and growing you in the faith. How so? It is when we are afraid that we are called to trust upon God the most. Not in the easy times, as McLaren put it. Things are going smoothly with us or the sun is shining. No, it's those times when the tempest blows and the wind howls. And that is when we hold fast to our supporter. The man never knew the true confidence who does not know it unless it's been arisen from terror and need. When I am afraid, I will put my trust in you. Don't consider yourself in the times of fear as, oh, I'm without hope. This is so terrible. I'm experiencing this great fear. Don't despair of the fear that you have, but go to God. Fear should be followed by faith. Trust upon Him. And the Lord will grow our faith as we trust upon Him in this difficulty. Albert Barnes says, even our very nature, our physical constitution is full of arrangements that are most skillfully adjusted. So God uses all that is about us to lead us to Him. Fear is one of these things, he says, designed to make us feel that we need God and to lead us to Him and realize that we have no power to save ourselves from impending danger. I hope that this will encourage you to call upon the Lord. I'm not wishing you to be in fearful circumstances, but I am praying that God will grow our faith. David has many evil adversaries, and we know that we must be sober-minded and watchful, for our adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Maybe you've not had anybody pull a gun on you lately, but I tell you, there's a greater threat than a physical threat to you. It is the threat to your soul, and certainly the Lord will keep us. I've been speaking to you all this morning, as you can tell, as believers, right? I've been saying, go to God, the one who you trusted for the forgiveness of your sins, the refuge that you found in Christ alone, for He is the Savior of sinners. And once you have believed upon Christ, begun to follow Him, once you've confessed that I'm a sinner and I can't save myself, I can't make myself right with you, O Lord, it is only Christ who is the Savior and can redeem me and has redeemed me by His shed blood. Only by faith in His shed blood can our sins be forgiven. But then as we walk by faith, we're trusting in Christ, even for deliverance in a here, great tribulation we see, life-threatening situation we see. That is who we should go to. We don't change our trust. It must be upon the Lord Himself. So I do want to speak just for a moment to those in the congregation that might not know the Lord, that have not sought Him out or gone to Him for the first time. That's where you begin. Confessing your sin, saying, I need something more than physical protection at this moment. I need soul deliverance. I need to be saved. I need to be reconciled to You, O God. For my sin has separated me from You, and now I am due Your wrath and Your punishment forever and eternity. I will be the one who receives the wrath, the one that David prayed for the evildoers, that wrath, those to be poured out upon. I will receive that, you must realize. And then you must see that the only hope is the fact that God took on flesh and dwelt among us. He lived a perfect life, but yet He died a sinner's death. He went to the cross and He died. For what reason was Christ crucified? Well, it wasn't for His own sins. He was being punished for the sins of the people of God. In that time, as He hung on the cross, the sky went dark. It was so bad. What He was doing was receiving the wrath of God towards the sins of the people of God that He cried out, my God, why have You forsaken me? It's almost impossible for us to understand this, but it had to be so. He was the sacrificial lamb. He was taking away the sin of the world at that moment. And then He cried, it is finished. He paid the ransom. He paid the price. The sin debt had been paid for. His blood was poured out and He cried, it is finished. And you say, well, if He just died for folk, then we should trust in a Savior that's dead. Oh, no. On the third day, He arose. The resurrection proves that the Father received this sacrifice. The resurrection proves that Christ is alive and He will give life to those who trust upon Him for the forgiveness of their sin. David has many evil adversaries. Believer, you have many adversaries. But no, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Unbeliever, know that you need to flee from the wrath of God. That is your greatest threat. And through Christ alone, you can be forgiven and become a child of God. Then you will begin to experience something of what David did when God's wrath brought him comfort. God's wrath toward evildoers. Yes, David was comforted knowing that God will stop all evildoers. We can have such faith and such comfort as well. And also that God cares for us even in the midst of all of our troubles. He knows all the details of it. He keeps the tears in the bottle. He records these wanderings or tossings in His book. Yes, saint, be comforted by God. Fear should be followed by faith. What should I say about this? Well, I think the psalmist said it. This I know, that God is for me. In God whose word I praise, in the Lord whose word I praise, in God I trust, I shall not be afraid. What can man do to me? The body they may kill, God's truth abideth still. His kingdom is forever. And don't turn away from God in peaceful times. Thank God for the many blessings that He has granted us. Let us pray. Father, I ask that You will take this truth from Your word, this psalm, that this prayer that David recorded as he called out to You. And I pray that You will work it within our minds and within our souls. Lord, as we experience fear and when we are afraid, grant us grace to put our trust in You. Thank You, Lord, that You are trustworthy, that You are sovereign and supreme. You rule over all. And so what can man do to us apart from Your allowing? Thank You, Lord, that You have given us Your word that says that You're going to work all things together for good for those who love You and are called according to Your purpose. So everything is working together for good. Thank You, Lord, that even though there are those who mean things for evil toward us, Lord, You can work them for good. You accomplish all Your purposes. Thank You that in Your purposes, You purpose to save a people for Yourself. And You did that by sending Your own Son, Christ, to accomplish that salvation. And so may our highest praise and thanksgiving be offered up to You this day for Christ, the Lamb who was slain to take away the sin of the world. The One who has the name that is above every name, with every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. We praise You this day for Christ. Will You rejoice our hearts, even in the midst of fearful times? Grant us faith. Oh, Lord, may we respond properly to fear. And so, Lord, grant us faith. It's through Christ I ask it. Amen.